Blog Talk.
God has so much in the impact in just a little bit. Let's just
verses. But look how much impact he tells us right there. He tells us love will cover a multitude of our sins. Wow, we're born into sin. We need to be covered. We need our sins to be forgiven. We've been talking about repenting of our sins nightly, daily, throughout the day. Love covers a multitude of our sins. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Again, I thank my sister for reading the scriptures for us tonight. So just a slight recap of where we started with our series, What's the Love? We were speaking about just how it is, love has a purpose. God has a purpose for our love. The Word of God says that our life does have a purpose, and that purpose is both a noble purpose and it's a desirable purpose. And every believer was created by God to love and to be loved. Hallelujah. It's important to love, but it's also important to be loved. Hallelujah. Very important to be loved. And the Lord's love is not based upon what we do. I thank God that his love is not based upon what we have or what we even can achieve or have achieved. His love for us is not based upon that. And he freely gives it, gives his love to us. And why does he give it? Simply because we need it. That's why he's so willing to give it. Simply because we're his creation. You can't win his love. You can't earn his love. It's not about how much money you make. It's not about how you perform in life. You need in love right now. He said, I'm here to give you. I want to love you. I'm loving you daily, whether you receive it or not. He said, I'm here and I'm loving you. That's a blessing, sisters and brothers. In the midst of all the things that go on around us, we need to know and receive the love of Jesus Christ. It's an unwavering love. It won't change on you. It won't flip and flop on you. It doesn't go according to the weather outside. It doesn't go according to the emotions of anyone. His love is the same. Hallelujah. It's a patient love. It's a forgiving love. It's an understanding love. It's unconditional. You can't find that. I've looked in all avenues. I've looked. You can't find that. Hallelujah. The most important response that we can make is to reciprocate God's love. So we know that he loves us. We know that our lives have a purpose. We know it's a desirable purpose. It's a noble purpose. Now, one of the most important responses that you, as a child of God, that I, as a child of God, can make is we have to learn how to reciprocate God's love. John said it simply and eloquently. He said, we love him because he first loved us. That's in 1 John 4:19. Again, we love him because he first loved us. As I was just writing my scripture for tonight, I just get chills on my body just to see some of the words of God's love. And then Jesus said the first and foremost commandment was what? He said it's love. He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Matthew 22:37. So the only acceptable response to God's great outpouring of his love towards you is simply just to love him back. It's simply just to love him back. Somebody says it's easy to open your mouth and say the words, yes, I love you, Lord. It's easy to stand up in the midst of a crowd on Sunday morning or Wednesday night and say, I love you, Lord. But will you love him on a daily basis? When the preacher is not there to tell you, to say, I love you. Will you love him? Will you show that you love him? Will you run hard this race that we call life, will you just run very hard? Just push beyond emotions. Push beyond the day, the way the day may seem. Push beyond the weather. Push beyond all the blockages to try to get in your way. The stumbling blocks, the pitfalls, the downfalls. Can you push beyond those things? And run a hard race at life. Achieving goals, setting new goals, coming to milestones. Can we do that? Can we just push hard to show God, I appreciate my life. The life that you've given to me, I'm appreciative of it. I'm just loving you back. I'm just loving you. I'm just setting something that when I get ready to leave here, I've left this world a better place than it was before I came here. Now, your name may not be known nationwide, but somebody in your city should know your name by the works that you've done. It should be some word that you're spreading to somebody every day, that you're making somebody's life a little different through your love, through the touch of your works in this life. So when you meet your Savior face to face, I want to be able to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Hallelujah. Well done that I fought a good fight. Well done. It was up hills and down lows, but you fought a good fight. Well done. Hallelujah. You got to keep the mindset that it ain't over. It's not over until God says that it's over. So get back up. I know you fell down. Get back up. I know it didn't look right. Get back up. I know people treated you wrong. Get back up. It ain't over. You're held accountable for laying there. Stand back up. The singer said, a saint is just a sinner who fell down but chose to get back up out in there and get out there. To get back up. Hallelujah. For the most only acceptable response to God's great opportunity, the great outpouring of his love towards you and I, is simply for us to just love him back. See, we can choose to rebel, and while this doesn't affect God's nature, it will change us if we rebel against him. Those who refuse to acknowledge and to receive divine love cut themselves off from great blessings. Not only that, but much so, individuals typically yield to any anger. We yield to hatred. We yield to bitterness when we cut ourselves off from many blessings of God because we don't want to receive his divine love. Now, we don't knowledgeably say, I don't want to receive God's love. But when we accept and choose to live in sin, to do sinful things, to tell the lie, to go steal from our brother, when we choose to not do the things that we're supposed to be doing, when we choose not to fight hard in this life, that's how we are cutting ourselves and denying God's divine love for ourselves. That's when you start to yield to anger. No big deal. Before you know it, you're angry. To hatred, to bitterness. You start to harden one's heart towards God, which is the supreme act of rebellion. Something happens in your life, and now you don't understand it because you didn't understand the word, and you wasn't cropped, and you didn't have it fulfilled in your heart. So you rebel against God. You hurt the one that loves you the most. You rebel against him because you say, I don't understand why this is going on. So you harden your heart towards God. And then in doing so, a person hurts himself for more than he hurts any others. You hurt yourself. We need the Lord. We can't live without him. humbly, you must humble yourself. When you humbly receive God, on the other hand, instead of rebelling against God, it brings good into one's life. Goodness comes into one's life. He brings you into the pathway of righteousness. The enemy constantly tries to convince us that if we follow Jesus, we will have to give up personal freedom. That if we follow Jesus, we will have to give up our identity. We will have to give up pleasure. We will have to give up fun. But those who live life apart from God's love eventually discover that their rebellion did not make them any freer. Their rebellion did not make them have more fun. Now, we understand that the Bible tells us also that there is pleasure in sinning. So sinning has his power of pleasure. But he doesn't show you the outcome of that pleasure. He doesn't show you that the time that you're having fun sleeping around, he doesn't show you the outcome is you laying up on your deathbed from some disease. He doesn't show you that. So the pleasure is just a temporary thing. It's just something to draw your eyes, just an attraction to get you to your deathbed. But he can't just walk up to you and present the deathbed and show you how you're going to look at that time. He can't show you how you're going to be suffering, how your kids is going to suffer from this divorce that you're going to do just by this affair that you're having. No. So he has to put the flashing lights. And he keeps your eyes centered on the thing that you're doing right now, that particular sin. And he draws you nearer to that thing. And then the pleasure, your flesh feels the pleasure. So you willingly accept that this is the sin that I'm going to commit right now. You know that it's sin. And you willingly decide, I'm going to do this. Why does everybody else get to do it and I don't? I'm just doing it one time. And then at the end, up the road, here comes devastation. And then you wonder, why, God, did this happen? Why did this happen? Eventually, you always discover your rebellion did not make you any freer. You may not go to jail, but you may end up in an emotional or psychological prison. You may get caught up in addiction or trapped by feelings of resentment. You may get caught up in anxiety that you just in fear of all that's around you. So you're in your own prison. You're in your own jail. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what it is that God wants you to do? What breaks down your walls of prison? What breaks down your walls of resentment, of rebellion? The word said it's love. Love with a purpose. Love. A desirable love. The longer you live life separated from the Lord's love, separated from the Lord's mercy, the less pleasure you're going to find in life. And in that situation, it's easy to become clinically jaded, critically, and in the end, apathetic to nearly everything. It doesn't matter. You don't have sympathy or empathy. You're just there. You're just living from day to day. You're just getting up, just going through the motions each and every day. But those who embrace God's love, those who learn to reciprocate God's love, you start to enjoy inner freedom. They never imagined. It's not something that even the things that you expected is more important. You start to enjoy inner freedom. Inner freedom. Hallelujah. You start to embrace God's love. You start to develop as individuals. You get more ideas of things that you need to do, want to accomplish. It's you just developing as an individual. You start to discover hidden talents, hidden abilities, things that you used to think back on, back when you was a child. It's brought back to the forefront of your mind now. And now you're ready to act on that ability. Now you're ready to act on that talent. Because you're lined up in the line of God's love. You're receiving his mercy. You're receiving his direction. You start to live life differently. You feel different about things. Hallelujah. You experience true delight in God's creation. And you know the joy of his discovery. You can look around you and just sit in a park and just look at the sky and find joy. You can just sit in your car and look at the trees blowing and find joy. Hallelujah. You should be able to praise the Lord without anyone but you. You should be able to get into God's spirit with just you. If nobody else praising, you should be able to just at any moment just get into the spirit. You said, well, you know, I go into that church and that church is dead. Did you bring life with you? Imagine if you brought the life with you. Hallelujah. Then there's life in this dead church. And if your life touched someone else's life, hallelujah, can you see that thing spreading around? We have choirs and praise teams all there to get us in the spirit, to get us in the motion where we want to praise. Why don't you try now just getting yourself there, waking up every morning, being your own praise team, being a praise team that you're praising before the Lord. That you just can envision and see yourself as you wake up, even in your dreams, you'll start to. I just love it when I could just, in my dreams, just still be in the talking and just corresponding with God. And I may turn over in the middle of the night, and I just wake up saying, oh, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. My dreams, you're just all in there, and it's just, oh, I can't imagine. I can't even explain to you. How wonderful of a time that is. That even when I close my eyes and he lets us rest, that he's still talking to me. And maybe that's what he needs from a lot of us. Because when we're up on our feet walking around, we got so many thoughts going through our mind, and we got our mouth open, and we're talking to our friends and to our neighbors, and we're talking. Even if we're talking to God, sometimes we talk so much that we can't hear. We can't hear from the Lord. So we can't get our answers because we can't hear. We can't hear from him. So maybe that's why he speaks to us so much in our dreams. And I'm not just talking about having a dream, but I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. He's talking to me in my dreams. Hallelujah. I'm at the altar. I'm bowed down, and he's anointing me. I just thank you, Lord Jesus, so personably. I love that he takes each individual and just spreads his love on you individually. Praise the Lord. All I've got to do is just love him back. All I've got to do is be obedient and just love him back. Reciprocate his love. Hallelujah. And when we choose to love and when we choose to obey, then we can be sure that he will guide us towards doing what will bring about the greatest fulfillment of our life. We know not really what we want. We know not really what will give us the greatest fulfillment. God knows. He said, why am I not successful at this particular thing that I keep trying? God sees the potholes that the enemy has for you. And he keeps leading you around it. So, no, I'm not going to let you step in that one. You keep trying to rebel and go back. And you said, no, I'm not. He's holding your hand and he's taking you into another direction. He said, I see where you're trying to get to. This is the direction you need to go. Even though it looks a little brighter over there right now. If you could just go through, go that way, you'll see that the brightness eventually turns to a darkness that you can't find your way out of that. So he said, I'm not going to allow you to. I'm going to answer your prayers. It just may not be in the way that you thought. You thought that everybody else to get to their riches and glory that they had to go through here. You thought for you to find that wife that you had to do these things. You thought for you to get your education and your degree that you had to do this. You had to cheat and lie and steal. He said, but no, I'm going to make you come this way. I want you to go on the right road. He said, but everybody else over here is doing it. I see them doing these things. Why is everybody else? I see this married couple. I see them doing things that is not according to your word, not according to your will. Why, when I'm in a situation, if anybody deserves to cheat, I do, after all this happened to me. Why am I not allowed to? He said, I'm going to keep you on the right. I'm going to keep you on the direct. I'm going to keep you on the pathway of righteousness. Because I know where you in your heart where you want to go. I hear your prayers when you're praying for success in your life. I hear your prayers when you pray for longevity. And if I turn you loose to your own depraved mind, you will cut your life short. So I'm going to hold on to you, even though you may not understand. I'm going to hold on to you, even though you may try to rebel. I'm going to hold on to you until you see that I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the light. And no man comes to the Father except through me. So I'm going to do it out of love. Because I love you. I'm going to do it out of love because I'm going to shed my mercy on you. I'm going to do it out of love and I'm going to give you my grace because I love you. I'm going to love you even when you don't love me. I'm going to love you even when you understand how to love me. Said, we love him because he first loved us. God's love is our ultimate reason to hope. God's love is our ultimate reason for hope. Remember, hope deferred makes the heart sick. You can't lose your hope. And if we hope with hope and certainty that God loves us and desires good for our lives, what is there to fear? If we know for certain that God loves us and that God desires for the goodness of this world to come into our lives, what is there to fear? It's no need of fearing of growing old alone. It's no need of fearing about surgery. It's no need of fearing about that loved one who's lied and trying to scandalize your name. But you know, God has the hope of desire for all goodness in your life, and he loves you. Hope in Christ is for everyone. It compels us not to remain in a state of dread, not to remain in that state of doubt or worry, but to seek transformation by the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit will direct you out of doubt. It will direct you out of worry. The power of the Holy Spirit will direct your flesh to sit down where your spirit can overpower and lead you in the pathway of righteousness. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Trust. Trust encourages us to anticipate God's best. You gotta have a spirit of anticipation. You got to know that wherever you're at right now is just temporarily. You've not got to know that and trust that God's best is still over you. It's not still somewhere out way in front of you waiting on you to get to a point, but God's best is right there with you in the midst of that pit. God's best is with you. is what's keeping you from going any further down. You say, I can't get any lower. You just can't imagine yourself right now any lower. But there's much, much lower that you could go. But it's God's best that's holding you. It's God's best that's protecting you. He's looking out for you. And he's looking for and giving you the present. It's a present to have a new day. It's a gift. That's why it's called a present, the present time. Because God has given us a gift every moment. It's a gift from the Holy Spirit just to be able to say, God, I love you. To take another breath, it's a gift. Hallelujah. Our Heavenly Father is a generous God, even extravagant in his love for us. He's a powerful God. Will you open your heart and let the Lord shower you of his good gifts upon you in your life? You won't regret yielding your life to him. He wants to love you. He wants to shower you with love. He wants to give you the best of him. He wants you to know that beyond all things that may happen in this life, there is nothing more powerful than his love. You are precious in his sight. Whatever you're going through, you're not alone. Even if you're on top of the world right now, everything may be going great in your life, and you feel like you need no one else because you have it all. If you're not going through a struggle right now, you're just coming out. If you're not coming out of a struggle, you're in one right now. If you're not in it, you're on your way to one. Life has struggles. The question is, who will you carry in the struggle with you? Who's going to be in the battle with you? It's your choice. The question is, what will be your outcome of your struggle? The question is, will you lose your hope? Will your heart become sick? Will you fight a good fight? Will the world be a better place because you were here? Will you find your purpose here? Will you be able to hear the words, well done, my good and faithful servant, you have fought a good fight. The word is, will you love your neighbor as yourself? Will you accept God's word that says that you must love? It says, we read the other night, that if a man does not love, he does not know God. If you do not love, you do not know God. So you cannot live another day with prejudice in your heart and think it's acceptable to God. You cannot live another moment with hatred in your life, in your words, teaching it to your kids, and think that it's acceptable to God. God wants you to love him. Our scripture of the day is going to come from 1 John 4:19. And it was just simply, we love because he first loved us. We love because he first loved us. 1 John 4:19. We thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you for your power. And we pray that all the listeners, either live or in the archive, dear Father, we ask that they be responsible of your word that they've heard and that they take it out and start to live your word and that they share your word with someone else. In your powerful name, we thank you and we praise you. We invite you to just take over our dreams, take over our thoughts, and just show off, Jesus. Just show us something, Jesus, that We just haven't experienced through you before. The angels in the temple, every time that they was going around, they saw something new about you that they never saw before. Just engulf us, Jesus. Just show us something that we never saw before. Let us feel your presence. Be all over our dreams, all over our homes. We invite you in our cars, on our jobs, in our marriages. Hallelujah. Just anoint yourself all over us, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We praise you, Jesus. Amen. Well, sisters and brothers, we've came to the end of another show. We never want to end a show without giving you the salvation prayer. So this is your opportunity. Your loved ones, yourself, whoever it is. You said, I it's time now. Remember, it's no age because God doesn't go by age. He doesn't go by time. That's only for our sake. So he'll do the same thing for a 2-year-old as he will a 200-year-old. But if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, then you're rebelling against him. You're rebelling against his love. You're not going to be able to fulfill your life with the way that he's purposed, that he's planned for you. And he said again, remember, in Jeremiah 29:11, that he knows the plans that he has for you. And they're plans to prosper you, not hurt you, not harm you. So if you don't know the Lord as your personal Lord and Savior, I'd just like to take this opportunity to just introduce to some and reunite to others the greatest friend you'll ever have. Guard your heart against the world by inviting him into your life. As you say these words, if you believe them that this is a new day. This is going to be a new start for me. Okay, I'm going to get back up. Okay, I've sat down, but I'm ready to get back up. You believe him with your heart, you will be born again. Romans 10:9-10 says you will be born again. Jesus, just repeat the word. Jesus, come into my life and forgive me of all of my sins. And I ask you, Father, to cleanse my heart and make me a new person in you right now. I believe that you are the Son of God and that you died on the cross for me. Jesus, I want to thank you for loving me enough to die for me. And I accept all that your shed blood bought for me on the cross. And I receive you as my Savior and Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed this prayer, congratulations. You are a new creature in Christ. And as 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It means all of heaven is celebrating right now. You have a brand new life with Jesus. I don't care how old you are. You may be 80 years old, 85, even older. You have a brand new life right now with Jesus. You have a bright future filled with faith, filled with hope. It doesn't matter your age. You say, Evangelist, but I'm almost 90 years old. I have a bright future. Remember, this life is only for a little while. But we have eternity that we're planning for. You have a bright future with faith and hope. Now, it's important. Very important that you let someone know of your reuniting with the Lord, of you meeting the Lord, of you accepting him, of your decision to just follow Christ. I would love to hear from you. Of course, you can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. You can also leave a message here on the Blog Talk Radio. We broadcast every night, so make sure that you check for us. We would also love to send you any free material that will help you on your walk. We want to pray with you. We want to intercede with you. Just let us know how we can help. And remember, Christ is thinking about you. He He only wants the best for you. So God bless you and keep you. And remember, it ain't over. It ain't over. But God says it's over. We love you.
It seems there's no way out. I know the issue seems unchangeable, and that there's no reason to shout, but the impossible is God's chance. Work a miracle, so just know it ain't over until God says it's over. It ain't over until God says it's done. No, 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 it ain't over. Until God says it's over, keep fighting until you're victorious.